Clock on the dot. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Mine says 6 on the dot.
6 o'clock.
He's Verizon time, so it's got to be late.
Yeah, that's got to be late. We'll wait a minute. We'll go through the minutes and wait for Susie to come back.
Is Susie here on that one, too?
Okay.
I got AT&T time, and I figure
That's West Coast time. Okay, we're going to approve the minutes. We all got them emailed. The minutes from the March 16th meeting.
I'm over accepting them as read.
Yep.
Anybody have Dave? You second it? Richard Johnson.
Second.
Were you able to read the minutes, Manna? Have we any?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 4-0. Okay. What I'd like to do is we're going to take resolution
182.
We'll take that one out of turn. So Mark and Sue could.
182, right?
Okay. So we'll open it up. Mark, you want to talk to anyone? Ken, you want to? Who wants to talk first?
I'll talk. I'll talk first.
Are you going to move it?
I'll move it.
All right, I'll second it.
Thanks, Rick.
Cover some discussion.
182. I'm getting there. Okay. All right, this would solve what Carl and I and a couple other legislators had seen as sort of a, not a flaw, but just like a loophole in the charter that would allow an executive or the office of county executive, not necessarily this executive, to circumvent the legislature on contracts by having, a contract for $20,000 and keep and repeatedly having $20,000 extensions, and as long as none of the individual contracts or extensions exceed $50,000, the legislature would never see them. And that happened in a way with the railroad litigation outside counsel, as well as back in the Golden Hill days when the county executive was developing the LDC. It was with, it wasn't Keenan Bean, it was that other law firm. What was the law firm that...
I know what you're talking about.
I forget, but... slipped my mind, but anyway. Harris Beach, thank you.
That was
yes. That there was about $90,000, I believe, in contracts with Harris Beach as they were developing the LDC, and we didn't know anything about it until... the LDC was given to us. Now, I think that that was a good thing, but I also think that it would have still happened if we'd had the approval of the contracts. So this would solve that. I spoke with Mark Ryder, our purchasing director, about a concern about capital projects. I'm still thinking through it about how I want to handle it. He had asked, and I'll let him explain it better than I can, but he had asked if we could exempt capital projects from it in order to not impede a project from moving forward. And it makes pretty good sense to me that it wouldn't be the end of the world to do, because we already approved the capital projects to a certain dollar amount. Now there's a concern I have about building too large of a contingency into the capital project, so then you could do that over and over and over again without... but then again, that's on us to do our diligence on that. Since we already approved the capital project, I don't think that it would be necessary for us to approve, four $20,000 contracts or amendments in that. So that's my...
And you take.
Yeah, and actually, since I spoke with Legislator Ronk, I've actually expanded my concerns a little bit beyond just capital projects, because there are other contracts, foster care contracts, other rates contracts that begin under $50,000. No one's setting these as under $50,000 to circumvent the legislature, but they are rates contracts that we believe are going to be under $50,000. And then, if they ended up going over, say it was a $10,000 amendment, to stop and have to wait for an act by the legislature. And I know... Legislator Ronk brought up that we could have a special meeting called, etc. I just think that we're going to be basically bringing county operations to a halt by taking these amendments, which are small amendments, 10, 15,000. Sometimes they're bigger, but up to 50, and requiring legislative approval for every single one of them, I just think is a way to slow down everything and not make it, you know, more efficient. And I understand, I think, that the local law is drafted with the best of intentions. I think that there's unintended consequences.
Okay,
I'd just like to respond to that. I mean, it's not necessarily about making government more efficient. It's about making government more accountable. And that's, sometimes it's a trade-off. You take one for the other. And on the one hand, I understand what you're saying about a contract where you imagine it would be below $50,000, but it could go over. The alternative is for the county executive at that point, if we don't want to grind government to a halt, the county executive's office and contract management could put those contracts through the legislature if it's under $50,000. There is precedent for putting contracts under $50,000 through the legislature, which we saw happen when the legislative council was by contract. It was a contract for $49,000-something and that contract was put through the legislature, I believe, for a different reason, but it was under $50,000 and brought up for legislative approval. So I think that
if we're going to be submitting contracts that are under 50 now, those contracts are all going to be on that same problematic schedule because of the need.
But wouldn't you be able to do something that typically a contract is, if it's 40,000, you don't have to have it approved by us. I would assume if you're going at 49,000, it would probably make sense to.
Yeah,
then it's close enough. On the other hand, couldn't we do if they believe it was going to be 50,000, but it went over and it ended up being 60,000, couldn't they be able to continue with just letting the legislature know that contract went over 10,000 more than the other?
If I could just quickly respond to both points.
Please.
As this local law is written, even if I came to the legislature with every contract under $50,000, as soon as, say it's a $49,000 contract, if I add a $2,000 amendment onto it, that $2,000 amendment has to come in front of the legislature, even if I went and had approval with $49,000 contract. If it's a $60,000 contract that's been approved by the legislature, and there's a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 amendment, I have to come back here. Anything in the aggregate over 50,000, I have to come back for every single amendment over 50. And I just think that, as far as I understand, you're looking for a level of accountability. And to your point, you have a financial analyst in those offices. Through Logos, they have access to every contract, every amendment that I sign. They can view them, they can see them, they can run reports.
I mean, wouldn't it be okay if you, in other words, Ken, if you put a percentage on something, that if the, in other words, you have a contract that comes in, it's $60,000, and they have a 10% increase on it, that'd be $6,000 added to it because the contract went up. Couldn't we put something in there that then says that, in other words, if it's more than that, they'd have to come back. But if it's 10% or less, then they can turn around and say,
You could still structure the contract so as we wouldn't be approving them at that point.
No, you're still approving the $55,000 contract, but if it went up by $5,600, they would have to send it back to us. But if it stayed below the 10%, because sometimes, let's face reality, we know that you go out to bid for something, you know you're going to buy it, and then next thing you know, when you go to actually get it 5 months later, price is going up.
Let me give you an example of the way I can see somebody.
I don't think it happens a lot, but it's got to be happening enough that it could be,
Let me give you an example of something that I've seen in a town, I won't say which one, that I had represented. There was a highway superintendent, and the town's purchasing policy said that invoices over $500 need approval by the town board. And this highway superintendent was having trouble getting approval from the town board on some of his purchases. So he'd go to NAPA and say, I need these parts, and the parts cost $5,000. And he said, okay, I need you to get me 10 invoices for $500 apiece. And then none of the invoices go over the $500, and none of them need town board approval.
Yeah, but that's basically reality. That guy is, like, really shady here. And so
no, I'm not, I mean, but it's not illegal.
I know it's not illegal, but...
We have software that we enter into support. The contract is in place, and the terms are, you know, still
yep.
late. It could be $25,000 this year, $27,000 next year. It's the same software support and maintenance because now there's two amendments that are more than $50,000 that we have to come for a contract that is a routine.
Well, no, because that would already be budgeted money. That would already be the
contract.
We're still approving. We're still approving the contracts.
We'd still be
approving the contracts over $50,000.
Right, but that's not. You're going out to bid at $30,000, and then you know that each year it's $30,000, $32,000, $34,000. That's approved whenever. I mean, that's not all of a sudden saying, "Hey,
yeah, but
we budgeted $30,000,
so it's $67,000, right?"
Well, no, I'm saying even if it's a one-year contract and we just amend it every year to extend it for another year and add to the contract the amount that it's going to cost us for that year. So now, I mean, we've had
so what's wrong with that, though? It's once every 3 years you come back to the legislature for that one. You know what my issue is? I'm going to tell you. When we have the railroad meetings and executive sessions and legislators ask me how much we've spent on outside counsel, she can't give us an answer or doesn't give us an answer. So I think...
Measure what you spent on inside counsel.
They cannot answer that question. And to me... Once it hits 50,000, the rules are, you know, the spirit of the law should be she should be coming back to us, or they should, their department should be coming back to us saying they don't have to. But I think this addresses it. Maybe we eliminate, we exempt human services. We exempt some departments that maybe time is an issue, but hire an outside counsel. Or you know, you hire somebody at 30 and then it goes to 70, I think the legislature
still,
should know. That's
has ramifications that won't, you know, that will turn up and will make, you know, will make extra costs for the taxpayers.
But yeah, but you know, we may say no then. So it would save taxpayers. We might say no, so it would actually save taxpayer money. We might say you're not making that expenditure. You're done. You had your under 50,000. It's not working. You're not spending the money. So
Can you give me an example of how
these attorneys? How much have we spent in attorneys for the railroad?
Well, you know, I don't know that.
$70,000, $700,000. None of us know. And B actually said one time she gives Kathy the invoices, and Kathy said he never saw one. So, you know, so once it goes over 50, if we know, we could say Bill's not getting paid. We need more answers.
We can't do that anyway. I mean, if we engage people for services...
But you shouldn't be engaging them once it's over 50,000 without a legislative approval. That's kind of what this resolution is getting at.
None of the amendments were over 50,000.
Listen, I know what you're saying, but we think, a lot of people think it's a flaw in the spirit of the law. Once it hit 50,000, nobody ever came back and said, you know what, we've hit 50,000, we'd like another 20,000 just to keep you updated, here's what we're spending, here's the hours. We probably wouldn't be here right now discussing this if we were. But when we ask questions and we don't get answers...
We were following the administrative code.
And this is going to fix something.
Whatever you decide, you're going to decide.
Right.
But I'm telling you this from a contract management point of view and from DPW, where... You know, change orders, anybody who works in construction knows that change orders are not
contingency money in a contract. If a jail project comes in at $30 million, we budgeted $3 or $4 million, 10% or 15% for contingency for change orders. So yeah, so that is budgeted in. We're not talking about if you run out of money, then you need to come back. But that means you blew through your contingency.
If
you're going through your contingency...
But are you thinking about what you're saying? Because what I'm hearing you say is that we're spending money that shouldn't have to spend.
But what you're saying is if we get a change order, you have to come back to us. And I'm saying, no, you're wrong, because that 10% for change orders is built in already. That money is there for, you know, well, this...
If the contract that we're talking about for an individual vendor on that project...
Mm-hmm.
You're saying we have to come back to you.
No.
It's even if we're still in the contingency.
No.
Yeah,
yes, that is what you're saying.
A lot of times,
in this local law,
well, let's use the jail,
that's what this
right?
local
well,
law.
But I thought you said he agreed after speaking to you.
No, hold on. Let's all pause for a second. Where is it flawed?
I just explained to you several instances where it could be problematic.
Well, you know, that doesn't make it flawed.
Plus,
that makes it problematic to a certain department.
Well, it's not a certain. I just said there's IS, DPW. It's not. It is every contract. We talked about DSS contracts. It's not.
So why do any contracts come to the legislature at that point? Aren't we just holding up county government for contracts over $50,000?
The administrative code calls for it, and I don't. I mean, I feel a little offended in the sense that you're implying that the departments throughout the county are trying to undermine the charter. Which
Hold
is
on.
Not
you want to play back the you want to play back the tape where I said the office of county executive could do that and not this county executive? Because I could play back
that
the tape if you'd like.
But I'm saying, what other purpose is there when I'm telling you how problematic this can be? Then why would what would be
well,
the purpose?
Do you have any solution?
Dave Cappy.
Okay,
finish
it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Cappy.
I think the purpose is clear. The county could be on the hook for $30,000 or $40,000 when they don't want to be or know about it. So certainly, $4,000, $5,000. Certainly, we all understand that could be very difficult for you. But
if it's in the budget, how can it be that we're
because
we're
the appropriating we're the appropriating body.
Right,
so what happens is it's not in the budget. You have a contract for 50.
If it's not in the budget, you have to
So we have a contract for $50,000. That's what we approved because we thought $50,000 or $49,500 or whatever we decided was an appropriate amount. Then if you guys decide, well, that isn't actually working, we want to put the county on the hook for another $30,000, we're on the hook. It's an unintended consequence.
They
I certainly understand it could make it more difficult for you, but you could make the county, put the county on the hook for a lot of money that we didn't intend.
Man, can Mark respond?
Mark's
got the floor.
I just, real quick, I mean, all of the departments have a budget, and then these contracts are within this budget. If they're overspending the department's budget, they have to come back to you.
In theory, as long as the entire budget is overspent and you can't transfer between lines.
Correct. But, I mean, I'm just pointing out that everything is budgeted. They have a certain amount budgeted, and if they go over the overall amount that the department's spent, then every year, come right around November, this body approves the budget.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question. The question is, we approve a contract for $50,000. And then the add-ons, 10, 12, 11, 7, 6, that could add up to be a lot of money that we are not having control over, that we didn't intend to have happen. No matter what the budget is, we've approved $50,000. I think the intent is to give us some control of the analogy I made when I first talked about this is the following. When there's a $10,000 reporting requirement when you go to the bank, right? Any deposit made over $10,000 has to be reported. It's a federal fine to go in and say $8,600 and $4,404 because you're purposely evading the rule. Nobody's saying this is a purposeful evasion, but it's the same thing, and it's happened in the past. I think we're just trying to gain some control over someone who, with good intentions, hooks the county up for more money than the legislature intended.
The only thing my...
Wait, man is next. Martin, do you want to respond to that, Mark, and then we'll let Manna go?
I'll let that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Manna?
Yeah, my suggestion, because this actually makes a lot of sense to me, my suggestion is, I mean, you know, rather than say this is going to seriously hamstring the departments, can you make a suggestion as to language that would meet the intent of the concern about small amounts in aggregation really being greater than 50,000? And are there very specific, you know, if there's specific exceptions that are important and make sense, I would entertain them. But I am concerned that what seems to have a lot of merit to me is, you know, it feels like you're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I'd like to hear some positive suggestions.
I mean,
the other thing, well, actually,
Dave, let Mark respond. I mean, ask questions, you can go next. So,
I guess my only response is I don't have a lot of positive solutions because I don't think that the issue is an issue. I mean, but beyond Keene and Bean, I don't, and not even beyond Keene and Bean. I think Keene and Bean was well intentioned, and but you brought it up as a reason for this, and I don't think it was a way to evade the legislature. I think it's just what happens with consulting fees and attorney fees. But I really don't see the issue as an issue, and I think that we're taking a step backwards going pre-charter where we're having the legislature approve every contract compared to...
We're not. That's not true. That's not accurate. We're not every contract,
but I mean, we're expanding. We're greatly expanding it.
He's got the floor.
That's fine.
And then Legislator Donaldson's next, and then you.
I mean, I just think that, you know, we were working towards, you know, operations are on one side and policies on another, and I think we're expanding policy to operations.
Okay.
And that's...
All right. I don't agree with you on that one, but what I would like to do is, so when we take a look at this, it's, you know, I don't want to see, in other words, just say they, according to this, if they relocated a contract and it was $51,000, just say, we okayed that $51,000. Now all of a sudden they had to spend $500 more. Does it come back to us again?
This local lot would.
So, I mean, that is...
I'd be willing to change that to such a way to reflect that...
A percentage.
That's what I was saying.
We could add a percentage on previously adopted contracts. I'd be okay with that.
Well, we're not going to pass. I mean, we're still going to discuss this.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm not ready to vote on this tonight, to be honest with you.
So
I don't know.
My take on it is, Kathy, if we could, did you draw this up?
No.
Okay. Who drew this up?
Erica.
All right. Well, then.
Is that all right with it? And can I make another?
What kind of percentage do you want? What do you think would be appropriate?
I think on a $50,000, I think 20% is reasonable. I think that $10,000 on a $50,000 contract is a reasonable amount to come back.
Well, that's a lot.
Am I generous? I don't know. I just figure I'm trying to slow down the hamstringing of county government.
I lived at 10.
But and also another thing I'd like to see.
Anything more than 10%.
Could we also incorporate if a capital project, if a change order is using contingency money, I don't think that should have to come back.
I'm still open to exempting capital projects from it since we already approved the capital project.
Right. And contingency, probably 99 out of 100 times you dig into
contingency. Absolutely. We've already dug into the contingency as drive in certain areas, but it's in areas where we've had to.
A number of times.
All right. So we've got, well... You reach out to Mark and Manna?
Just a question on the percentage. If it's a $500,000 contract and it's a 10-20%, that's a huge amount. So I'm just wondering.
But even this is a contract under $50,000 too. If a $20,000 contract goes to $40,000, we would still have to come to us.
Oh no!
What if it goes to $40,000 and then later on in the year it goes to $52,000?
My thing would be my proposal would be that once a regardless of the percentage, once a contract reaches $50,000, we approve the execution of the contract that makes the aggregate exceed $50,000, and then above that, every time if we spend 20% of the total contract, then it comes back to us again.
I mean, we've got a month to work it out. We'll bring it back next month.
I would also really like Cappy to look at it and see if he can. Is that okay to ask?
Sure, I'll talk to Erica. Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Not a problem.
If you have any suggestions?
I don't really have any suggestions. I just from, you know, my work in contract management has seen at DPW and knowing the contracts from all the departments, it's putting another obstacle in the way of efficiency and effectively running the county.
Just finish.
I think, you know, the departments don't put forth amendments unless they need them. That's been my experience downstairs. And this is an unnecessary hurdle, and it's connected to a body that meets once a month. So I think this is a bad idea, and I don't know that there's a way to fix it. I think the administrative code works fine. There may have been a couple of issues that you were unhappy about, but as a general rule, I don't think this is necessary. That's
your opinion. Yes. That's fine.
Thank you.
I will tell you, though, with the Ulster County Jail Project, if change orders had to come back to the legislature, we probably would have known a year and a half earlier that it was going to be $20 million overrun. So they didn't have to come back to the legislature back then. So we were being told there was still a $6 or $7 million contingency, that 10% in change order. And again, we're looking to exempt that. But certainly you're hard-pressed to say that by them not having a requirement that you have to come back any time a certain percentage, that is an example of a failure, and we should have known.
I think the difference is nobody was accountable back then.
No, I agree. Mean, but you know, Mark, at the end of the day, maybe department heads now are saying, geez, if it's going up this much, I don't want to have to go back to the legislature. I'm going to sharpen a pencil a little bit, and we're going to work this out where we're going to keep it under. Or when they do their projections, they're going to say, hey, this is going to be $59,000. It's not going to be $38,000, so we're going to have to put the full amount in. Maybe that's what's going to have to happen out of this. Come in high. Come in a little higher.
I don't think that level of predictability is there. I don't think it's good to overblow your estimates. So
I'm not
that
saying,
you don't have to come back to the legislature.
No, but, you know, if people keep missing their projections, then there's somewhat of a concern about the budgeting, the contracts.
Everybody's concerned about that every day.
No, but if you're not coming in accurate and you're increasing it 20%.
It's because of unforeseen.
Well, maybe it is foreseen, but somebody just forgot to see it. Or maybe, you know, of course nobody does anything wrong. We understand that. You know, I've been around a long time. No county or state or town workers ever done anything wrong or missed anything. We all know that. But at the end of the day,
everyone makes
mistakes. I think this has work to do, but I think it has some merits to a degree, and I think we should exempt capital projects. So,
right, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With no action.
Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
Let's. Okay.
Mark, I just want you to know that Don cannot see what you think he can see.
Okay.
If there's a way for him to do it, somebody needs to teach him.
Make that, sure.
Yeah.
You should go down and get training.
Well, he's had training, and nobody trained him how to do that.
Follow up. Okay.
Any amount that I was willing to change it before this meeting, I'm not anymore. I'm really pissed off.
Well, I think we can't create policy by being pissed off.
Yeah, let's sit on it.
I think what we need to do is, I think a 10% would be, or even maybe a 12% or something like that. Because, you know, if you have a contract,
I totally agree with that, and I'm bored with that. And honestly, it wasn't my intention to be reapproving contracts that were already over $50,000. So I would love to change it to make it so, but for people from the executive's department to come here and say words like flawed. In regards to a resolution that they just disagree with.
Listen, the election bill law we passed had
one
word off, and Mike's press release was severely flawed. I mean, these guys
the resolution for 3 months.
No, but I'm just saying they all work off the same talking points.
Yeah. Anyway,
so we'll move on that next
week. Resolution for 3 months.
Yeah. I'll talk to Carl about it, and we'll
move it next month. Okay, let's go back to
when
resolution.
With more problems.
We're having a special meeting next Tuesday.
That's on the rules, though. Well, I guess we can talk about that, too.
Yeah, you can. Resolution 315, adopting proposed local law number 2 of 2014.
I'll move it.
All right. It's my understanding that Village of Ellenville no longer wants to be part of this?
Yeah. Okay. But the chairman has asked for it to move forward anyway in committee, so I'm ready to take a vote on it personally.
Why would they not want to move forward?
Why do you think? Because
no idea.
The office behind me went down there and gave them $1 million in the rising money and is offered to, so it's been a, that's what it's about. If they keep supporting this, then they lose the New York, right? The, is it the rising money, right? The New York?
No, this is the Ellenville million.
Ellenville million. So.
Yeah, it's because of the windfall that we get.
That casino money that we don't get until 2017.
Right. So, I'm fine with moving it to the floor, letting it go up and down.
They're the people that would benefit the most out of it.
Yeah, and they were the biggest ones.
Because Newfall really doesn't benefit a great deal out of it.
And Sorby's a little bit.
Because they've both taken steps to hire outside companies to come in and do collections.
Well, and they're a little more higher. Right. They don't have as many higher needs.
Yeah.
When we first proposed this, I thought maybe the city, but said, you know, we should involve the city also because they should be made whole. But when the mayor doesn't want it.
Because they sell their own properties.
But they do, yeah. but Jim Sadial said if he was the mayor, he would have done it. He said, I'd love that done. Because we make some money on it sometimes, but he said it's a pain in the ass. You know, all that work has got to be done.
Yeah.
And he's still got to pay people to promote it, where we already do it.
Right.
But so they said no, so. I have no problem with it, I guess. You can do it. If they want to benefit from it. I mean, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
The last conversation I remember about this is that for two of the three villages, it's not going to be a liability for us.
It would just be Wawarsing is the only one it would be.
Yeah.
Ellenville in particular.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Village over. Wawarsing's already in.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, has anything...
The concern I've always had, if I could just jump in, the concern I've always had, especially with as written, is I believe that this would go back in perpetuity. So if they have $1 million worth of back taxes on the properties, we have to make them whole for $1 million.
I don't think so. I thought it was when it was passed going forward.
Yeah, that's.
I'd like to see where that's set in here because I don't remember that being part of the discussion.
Yeah,
I think it's.
Well, are we just coming over what's covered again?
It's the first resolution, proposed local law number 2 of 2014.
I think that was one of the issues, one of the decisions that had to be made, is where do we start?
Yes, and there's $1 million of taxes.
Commencing on commission.
Well, actually, you get signed in by, according to this,
Chairman.
Done by the Board of Trustees.
Well, the Board of Trustees has to opt in.
Right. The Commissioner of
Correct.
Finance, the Enforcing Officer, and the Enforcing Officer of the Realtor. So basically, he's got to go through the executives once it, in other words, any
and
contract that
agreement.
Is signed. So they would sign something to protect them from the backstop.
Yeah, Jeff Kaplan was the one who really was pushing.
And
pushing,
Joe.
Pushing.
And Joe Steckler.
Joe Steckler, right.
I've spoken to him 10 times on it.
Correct.
And so was
I had
the
only conversation.
TJ,
the only conversation.
I think he was against it from the get-go.
TJ?
Well, he's bad.
He's got to vote for it.
I know, but he wasn't.
No,
he was talking about the tire dump and different things.
There's a woman there that has a job, and he feels that she doesn't do the job.
Yeah, the tax collector.
But the point is with that in mind, the thing is, we have the structure in place. And a lot of these, like a village, may not have a very good structure in place to, you know, carry that out. It's
so
like the towns don't have a structure.
Saugerties, you know, you can't claim Saugerties is as well off as New Paltz. Why doesn't Saugerties
have
a problem?
They have some. There is a challenge for them, just not as big as the Warsaw.
They can make their money.
And you know what the crazy thing is?
The properties don't sell.
If the village is dissolved, if one of the villages dissolved tomorrow, we'd have to make them whole for their taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's we would have to do it. Because
they
just
fight.
Fight
against dissolution.
No, I'm just saying.
Dissolution of the villages is not a bad idea.
No, but that's not what this is. But
I understand.
But if they dissolved, we'd have to make them whole.
Rosendale dissolved.
Yeah. Pine Hill.
We did.
Pine Hill. And Pine Hill used to be a village.
And you had a huge debt.
Regardless of the perceived.
Which the town absorbed. Not the county at that time. Yeah.
With.
But the county through the town.
Yeah.
Putting aside the reasons why we perceive that the village of Ellenville asked it to be withdrawn, you know, they have. And.
But they'd still have to opt in. So if they don't want to do it, it doesn't matter if it didn't.
Well, if we dangle $100,000 in their face, they're not going to take it? Come on.
Well, they'll lose the other money.
Well, that's subject to appropriation by the legislature in the end. People forget that we're the appropriating body. Come but ahead. Then again, sometimes when the executive department comes and behaves the way they did this evening, I feel like we'd be better off without a legislator.
I don't think
Legislator Roberts.
I'd like to ask a question here, and you know, maybe the Chairman Parity, not you, your father, knows more than we do about this, but I don't see anybody here from New Paltz or Socrates or Ellenville, you know, saying, hey, this is a great idea, help me out.
They've been at meetings. Come early on.
They
come. Yeah. But you can't, they've come.
Ellenville.
And they wrote letters. No, but the village board passed a resolution in New Paltz and Socrates, I believe.
Can we have a couple meetings in the chairman's office?
Yeah.
And they passed resolutions supporting this.
The village did?
Yeah. Okay. New Paltz, I know. I don't know about Socrates.
I've been against this since I've been a legislator, so it's tough for me.
One question. If there are not enough votes in committee to vote to pass it, to vote it out of committee, that doesn't kill it.
Well, no, then it could be a petition of discharge.
Okay, that's right.
Then it's got to be voted yesterday.
And then the legislature. After two times.
After two times.
The rules change after passing.
Right. Okay.
I move we call the question. We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah, I support it.
All right, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Failed 2-3.
So, Parity and Donaldson voted for it, and
I don't
Robert,
understand why you guys are against
Green
it.
And Ron voted.
I'm concerned about the village liability. I want to help them out, but
I'm concerned about the liability to the county that it poses in a case where somebody would entertain a contract which would be for all of the back taxes. It allows for
okay,
that.
Okay, we voted.
All right, it's fine.
We'll talk about it.
We bail out the towns now and the school district.
Way too many times.
Yeah. Every one of them we bail out.
You know what,
every time. If you don't,
the village taxpayers are paying just as much in town taxes as the towns.
Pay your taxes,
and they don't get the service.
And you,
it's crazy.
You and all your neighbors don't pay them.
We should lower their taxes and say you're not paying for this.
This isn't the end of it. I mean, it can go through petition to discharge.
Yeah.
But
can I just say, one thing? The village of Ellenville taxpayers pay county taxes.
Yeah.
Just like the town of Warsaw people.
Yeah.
So why don't they get the same? Why shouldn't they get the same service? A $100,000 house in the village of Ellenville pays the same county taxes as a $100,000 house in the town of Warsaw.
Yeah.
But the town of Warsaw gets made whole if somebody defaults on their taxes, but somebody in the village doesn't get paid whole. They're both paying the county taxes. I don't know why the same. To me,
this is a tough one for me. That's why I asked the question about whether or not, between now and if a petition for discharge is filed, I may change how I feel about it, but right now my concern is that it's my understanding that there's a disproportionate burden from Ellenville and Warsaw. Well,
not Warsaw. We're doing it for
Warsaw. Just Ellenville, but I just have to understand better because I really do want to help them, but I. You know, it's not from here forward. It's everything that is already present.
I think that's
all on the table.
I thought it was addressed.
No, it is addressed. It's addressed by the agreement. So in other words, when they enter into an agreement, that would be part of the agreement.
But they could enter into an agreement for the whole amount.
Yes, but you think the finance, the commissioner of finance is going to enter into an agreement?
Not this one, but maybe the next one.
Oh.
Well, then if he did, it would be done by then. By then it's going to be out.
All right,
well,
it started at zero.
Whatever,
vote how you're going to vote. I don't think
it's going to be next day. Well, Mike's a congressman next year.
You know, Dan, they would, no county executive is going to do that.
I don't know that.
To do automatically say, oh, okay, yeah, we'll take over all the old stuff.
Okay, we voted on it. Let's go. 453 was withdrawn.
It'll come up again in caucus.
133, yeah, this is going to be.
But it's failing here in committee,
so it won't be on the agenda. It may be next month or the following month.
Yeah, it's the petition to discharge, because within 10 days of the legislative meeting, the petition to discharge takes effect the next month.
Yeah. All right. It's not the end of it.
Okay. Resolution 133, adopting proposed local law number 14 of the law establishing a tobacco retail license and reducing youth as exposed.
So everybody knows, there was a letter from an attorney. I hope everybody got it. It was forwarded to everybody by the.
I did not get to read it.
I didn't get to read it yet.
My phone doesn't open it up, but I'll see it when
he
I get home.
He feels very, very similar to what Cappy and Eric are saying, right? He feels that
he I would say he points out a lot of the same stuff that we've kind of cautioned about. I don't know that there's anything illegal about it, but he has some similar concerns to Eric and I. And
are there any ways we can fix it?
He also pointed out in that that... The kids don't buy their cigarettes in the retail places. They're getting them from other places, 86% other places. Because they don't, kids that are under 18 get somebody else and go get it for them.
Right.
He also had some significant draft concerns.
Right.
I brought them to Ms. Steve's attention prior to getting this letter.
To who?
Tracy Steve's.
She was the contract
attorney's office.
Yeah.
They aren't willing to make significant, any real changes. But yeah, I think the concerns are, in the penalty phase, there's some significant concerns.
There's these charts on the back of it.
Okay.
So, here's what it is. Here.
So, oh, what's...
I didn't see the group the guy represents.
Right. Well,
the National Association of Tobacco Outlets.
It
doesn't make his concerns invalid.
No,
I'm just saying.
Right.
I like this one, borrowed or bummed.
How do you borrow a cigarette?
Yeah.
Or bum a cigarette.
On, you bum it, yeah.
You bum a cigarette.
Well, when you're under 18, it's really hard to borrow.
Okay, let's go. Anybody have questions on the resolution?
Let's
133, right?
Yes.
Correct.
I don't know. My problem with this thing is it's going to do absolutely nothing. I don't see it achieving anything other than making us feel good that we're doing something to stop smoking when we're not going to. We're doing absolutely nothing. And, rather than this license and this stuff, what they want to do is come up with wording where, in other words,
you
where they
for
place
and
it in every retail store. I mean, can we do that, Cappy? Come up with wording on where we place cigarettes, no matter where the store is. I don't care if people sell them, because people are going to want to buy them, but as long as they're not showing so the kids see them.
That's the purpose of this
in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So they don't see them. So you stop the local store within 3 million square feet.
Nobody can tell me that a kid who starts smoking for the first time started smoking because the deli is across the street from the school. Give me a break.
Well, maybe the deli had some, Joe Camel's big sign out front. And
well, they used to do that. Yeah. Well, that's the point. That's what they should stop having.
You know, that's just what I thought when I was a kid. Is I got to do what that Camel's doing.
I want to grow up big camel.
I guess.
Can we call the question?
Is everybody?
I don't know. Done?
Okay, call the question.
You're the chair.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm opposed. I want to put it off a month because I'd like this attorney's.
I just don't know if there's any fix to them. You know,
Did we just some of the little things you pointed out were in the penalty phases. It's a notice issue, but the penalty phase points I think you made were good. And they've been brought up too.
You know, can I just tell you something what I'd like to do? And I know we just voted. I think we need to, like, if a minor buys alcohol, there's a penalty, a crime.
To the minor.
To the minor. Why don't we incorporate into this law
that guy said.
I didn't even read it yet because
I'd like to add, too, when, you know.
Let's do that. Let's make it comprehensive. We're really going to, let's put some accountability on the kid, too, who's trying to illegally buy the cigarettes, to put a business person's business in jeopardy and their livelihood in jeopardy. There should be some accountability for kids.
We started to vote on it. I didn't vote yet.
Well,
let's postpone it for a month.
I was going to say, I'll make a motion to reconsider if the committee wants to postpone it.
And I'd like to add, Mr. Chair, that, you know, my son, when he grew up in Florida, and I remember having to go down there when he was like 16. I can't remember if it was a county or a state law, but he did have to go in front of a judge, and, you know, it was very serious of the...
For smoking, right?
Yeah, for smoking.
So buying.
Possession.
Oh, possession. But what about you try to buy underage?
I'm sure that's the same issue, but...
They have a law in Florida. If you get caught smoking while you're driving a car, you lose your license if you're under 21 or something.
Could we look at that? I mean, not specifically that one, but if we can, if an underage person does purchase them...
I don't think you can make... combine those two.
Well, could we see if we could do a local law?
Sure, absolutely. But I don't think you can combine them.
We can pass them together.
Criminalizing smoking for underage.
Not criminalizing smoking. It's about the purchase, and this is about the sale. So you could make it a crime to purchase a pack of cigarettes for a minor in these school zones.
Technically, you can't make it. You can make it a crime, but if you're a minor, you're a youthful offender, so it's not a crime by
right. Then it's a
right.
Yeah, you go from the family court. And
no, you can be in a contempt court. But if you're 18 or under, you have youthful offender status, doesn't go on your record, and technically it's not a crime. So
I don't know. What is the positive end of making it a crime?
What kind of...
Teach a lesson at the level... Right. If we were looking to teach a lesson, you teach a lesson.
Kids in the juvenile system?
No kids are going to go in the juvenile system. They're going to go before the judge, and
they're going to have an NCIS number. Look, I'm very...
Hey, listen, it happens with alcohol, right? If a kid's possession alcohol under the age?
I very seldom. I'm in town court almost every day. I probably haven't seen two of those in 25 years.
A 20-year-old possessing alcohol in an open space doesn't get in trouble.
I haven't seen two of them in 25 years.
Really?
No, because again, you go after the poor guys who own the market
if an underage kid is in New Paltz bar drinking beer and the police come in for a sting, that 20-year-old gets arrested
under the alcohol beverage control law.
Okay.
False ID, they get the arrest.
What if they don't have a false ID? What if they said, I just walked in
under
and bought
the ABC,
beer?
You can get charged for
possession. Geez, when I was in college, kids used to get arrested all the time for having beer in the bars.
In New Paltz, it's a violation, but you get charged for possession. On campus. Who weren't actually drinking.
Under the alcohol and beverage control law.
Okay, let's see. We're getting off topic. So what are we going to do with this?
Are we reconsidering that before
My
the vote is
really
announced?
Yes. It's about the advertising. That's the gist of this.
I don't buy that either.
The very gist of this is that they don't want it in stores near schools because the kids see that it's being advertised. And the point is... But for instance, so many of these places, like for instance, the Stewarts that are near a couple of schools, these kids don't go in them. Like the one on, the boulevard there, George Washington, don't go in there without their parents with them because you have to cross that crazy street. Anybody that's going to allow their kid to walk across that street really doesn't give the easy kid cigarettes. So as a result, they'll be punished in a sense. So my take on it is everybody should. I mean, if a kid walks in a store, he goes into any store that will sell a soda to a kid should be able to. They shouldn't advertise the cigarettes everywhere in Ulster County. And I mean, I think that is much more comprehensive and would accomplish what we're looking to accomplish. I mean, without making it rougher on you,
it's good that email
as opposed to him.
I mean, define advertisement. You know, most stores I go in have the cigarettes behind the counter. And I mean, is that considered advertisement? Just sitting there?
No, they have them in the windows too. A lot of them have windows, so things like that. And they'll have like ads in the, you know, where you can see them behind the counter, or, you know, things like that.
Okay, so what's up?
Do you want to postpone it for a month?
I'm okay with postponing it for a month.
You know, I'm reconsidering. I think we should just get this off our plate and be done with it and call it a day. And
I'm fine with that too. Whatever
the
committee
wants. Something about penalizing juveniles for possession or something. I think we should take a hard look at that. But to tie this up, both of them together, I mean, to me, it's, you know, I don't know if it makes.
Okay, well, let's call the vote again then.
All right,
well, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
So I have Roberts is in favor, Green is in favor.
Yeah, I'll be a no tonight.
Parity is opposed, Donaldson is.
He's thinking.
I'm opposed to it. I don't think it accomplishes anything, to be honest with you. It doesn't do a damn thing.
Okay. Resolution 134, adopting proposed local law number 1 of 2015, a local law to authorize the sale and use of sparkling devices.
I'll move it.
Anybody going to second it?
I'll second it.
Legislator Roberts, second.
May I?
Legislator Brock.
You know, I spoke to the fire departments that I represent. I understand that the Chiefs Association came out against it. You know, I spoke to both commissioners as well as firefighters and chiefs in my departments, Walk Hill and Shangham Valley. They both don't think that sparklers are more dangerous, you know, or likely to cause more fires than a matchbook or a lighter, both of which are legal to use, and, you know, matches aren't illegal for people under a certain age or anything like that. You can only buy these things for, you know, 5 weeks a year. You know, and the retailers have to have a license from the Department of State, which I believe is a $2,000 per location license, not per retailer, per location. So if you've got 3 locations, it's $6,000. And you know, if you're going to store them, you need to have a sprinkler system and all kinds of other, you know, safeguards. You know, they can't be sold to minors. So again, I just think that there are so many safeguards that are put in place for something that most people on the street don't even think is illegal. You know, I didn't get a chance to ask the sheriff, but I wanted to ask the sheriff how many arrests his deputies made for possession of any fireworks, let alone just sparkling devices. You know, and
probably get a few every year.
I'd be willing to bet that it's very low, though. Yeah. You know, every 4th of July, everything's illegal now. Every 4th of July, I see sparklers. Every 4th of July, I see bottle rockets, which will remain illegal, and mortars, which will remain illegal, going off in the middle of town. We got 3 police departments that cover the town. So, again, and plus, you know.
So how are you going to vote?
Orange County and Dutchess County have passed it already.
In my yard, I have 2 neighbors that run the fireworks.
Orange County and Dutchess County.
2 houses that way, the other one's 2 houses the other way. And sometimes those little rocket things land in my yard.
Do we want to let our businesses, you know, do we want to have our businesses in Ulster County not be able to sell them? People can go across the bridge or across the border and get them anyway. I just.
Why they do it in Dutchess
County? Okay,
listen.
Dutchess
County. Dutchess County.
I didn't know if you want to speak on it. Roberts has the floor.
Ken, you seem to know a lot about this. Who came up with the $2,000 per location, the state or the county?
It's a state law. It's licensed through the Department of State.
Is this a new law that they're allowing this?
Yes, the New York State in 2014, chapter something or other, the laws of 2014, chapter 447 of the laws of 2014 amended the state penal law and executive law, general business law, which, you know, gave the counties the option to remove sparkling devices, which would be sparklers, fountains, caps for cap guns, the poppers that you throw on the ground, and the party poppers.
Caps are illegal?
Yeah.
Party poppers.
Yeah, so are the party poppers that you pop at a party. It removes them from the list of dangerous fireworks under the penal law.
Okay. Call the question.
You mean the little caps? I didn't know.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I was wondering, you don't see them anymore.
No.
Okay.
And just my no is because the overwhelming number of firefighters that objected in the evidence that they presented as, you know.
Didn't you hear Richard Jarantine's toilet, the toilet statistics?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next.
Okay. 135.
Two.
Adopting proposed local law number 2. A local law requires that the county must be reimbursed for the cost of medical or dental services provided to inmates at the Delaware County Jail for any third-party coverage
of
indemnification carried by an inmate.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Hey, Kev, there were like 2,000 fireworks injuries,
right,
and like 100,000 toilet injuries.
Anybody going to discuss this? Call the question.
It's a good idea. Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 5-0. 182 we already discussed.
Is that a list of
injuries? 182 is discussed.
And we're holding that, right?
We're not going to take action.
Okay. Paul didn't need, no, we needed a local law.
What's that?
183
so
is
we've been doing
one.
It for you.
Right.
Paul,
local,
law. Local law for it.
Number.
We don't really.
183 is setting a public hearing on local law, number 5 of 2015. Is Ron going to move it?
Thanks. I'll move it.
Second? I'll second it.
This local law, it's a couple of charter changes all in one. I decided to do them all together because they're going to be together in the end. If we decide we don't like any of them, we can amend them, we can change them, move them in and out. But I wanted to bring it to the committee as a whole packet. I'd like to discuss it tonight. We don't have to. If everyone's not comfortable, we don't have to vote on it tonight. But we do have to vote on it by next month in order for the process to be able to take place to get it on the ballot. So, if you want to just go through them real quick.
Yeah.
Section 1 is about the term of office for county legislator. Changes it from 2 years to 4 years.
Go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Section, please.
When is redistricting as of now?
2022 for the election in 2023. So the redistricting, we redistrict in years ending in 2.
It can be done anytime after the census, but it doesn't take effect until the 2023 election.
Correct.
We don't have to rush it like we did.
And that was why we did that.
Yeah.
In that
but with the census, with the way, as of right now, if say this passed, your proposal passed,
yep,
would the redistricting year be in the middle of a term, or would it coincide with a new election?
It would be in the middle of a term, you would still represent the same districts until the next election.
Because we put it off 2 years already from what we did. These seats
right, but
right
it wouldn't
now,
always be like that. The point is, it wouldn't always be like that because the 4 years.
But then we'd be in those same seats for four.
Year.
People would be in those same seats for 14 years. These legislative districts would be in effect. Because as of now, these legislative seats are in effect for 12 years.
Yeah.
Because we bumped it
because
off.
Because we bumped it off
so
a year.
If
yeah.
this went in the middle, no, well, one
well,
turn.
Term.
So this would now bump it another 2 years. So now you're talking, we'd run
just for the first.
It would be for the first time
because of the changes to the charter.
No.
It wouldn't always be like that.
No, because it'd be 4, 8, 12. So then we'd run in.
It'd be 4, 8, 12. Then it would be 16.
I know what you're saying, but make 14 years and when. Ideally, they're supposed to be done every 10 years. It's a pretty big
swing.
And I don't think.
The next time afterwards would be only 6 years in the district.
I would be open to making it the 11th.
Because you couldn't do it in six. A 4 year term, that'd be 4, 8, 12.
It could never be ten again. Yeah. Wait,
could never be 10.
If that's the only hang up, then I would be fine because I foresaw that might be an issue. I'd be fine making it effective with the general election of 2019, which would get us on track to hit 2023 for the election.
Okay.
But again, that's only going to happen
that
first time, and then the next year it's going to be an extra
yeah.
2 years. I mean, it's
no, I,
regardless.
I know.
Of that,
I,
but,
right. I,
but it's.
It won't be 4 years. It'll be two normally.
No. It's always going to be 2 years off because it's going
right.
to be.
It's not always going to be 2 years off.
Yes, it is.
It's every 2 years, it will be 2 years off.
Every two elections.
Every two redistricting.
No.
It'll be 2 years off.
No, because
yes.
because ideally you want to be every 10 years, and on 4 year terms, it's impossible to be every 10 years because it's either going to be 4, 8, or 12. So 1 year, you're going to run one census, you're going to run 12-year terms. The other census, you'd run 8-year terms. The other census, you'd run 12. That's the only way you would keep it even. Because if you did 12-year terms every year, every 50 years, you'd actually miss a census.
You're right. We'd have to get a calendar here and look ahead to...
You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
2050.
I think that the benefit to the taxpayer is in more productivity for the legislature.
If you do that, it would be better for say 17, because that means in 17, if you do it, so.
Okay, let's move to the next one. We're not going to solve this tonight.
2019.
Well,
would be running, but you'll be running through 19 through 23, and we don't do it until 23 anyway.
Do you want to discuss staggering first?
Yeah, I just want to mention.
I'm totally against staggering.
All right, let Amanda talk.
Yeah,
let's
go ahead, Amanda.
You know, I agree with some of the things in here, and I have concerns about others. But I just want to point out that I had, you know, a similar resolution that suggested that the terms be staggered, and it kind of got into the dilemma of the redistricting. But I'm just wondering if staggering actually helps that. The problem,
it doesn't,
because somebody could be in a district that got redistricted. Now,
you can't move people or make people up.
That can't happen with 2-year terms. So, but I just want to say the reason that I did that, and I know that the legislature is very different than, you know, how the town boards and their various committees and commissions function, but because a lot more work is done in committee in the legislature. But I did feel there was some value to the continuity of the overlap in staggered terms, in terms of getting work done and institutional memory and so forth.
I just don't think the math will work with staggered terms. I don't think any elected body that has redistricting can have staggered terms. I don't believe you'll find any anywhere in the United States.
Yeah.
Town because board?
No, you can do
no, because town
boards,
district.
Town boards are...
Can I just jump in real quick, Dave?
The reason, and I agree with everything that Manna said. I agree with the continuity of government. I agree with institutional memory, all those things. And that's why I had originally wanted to stagger the terms. And I went through it with Erica, and I thought about it, and I looked. And I was not able to find one body that doesn't have set districts, the U.S. Senate, town councils, that stagger.
Mayors,
and the reason for that is redistricting. That there's I don't think that anybody else has found a way to reconcile redistricting to it either. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
All right. Anyway, I wouldn't support staggering anyway. I believe that, you know, when people go out to vote, they should be able to vote for the body. If they want change, they want change. If they want to keep things, it's fine. Now, the idea, one of the reasons why I was, that people might not realize, but I was the first person to really push the idea of single-member districts. I started pushing that 2 decades ago, because I saw it was ridiculous as the way we were running at large, and it was very expensive to run.
Yep.
You had to run at in other words, like, you had to run at at wide, and it was strictly a popularity contest.
And sometimes you run against your own teammates.
Right, you're running against
like
your own teammates.
Like when you run against
Glenn. Right. Yeah, so as a result, that's one of the reasons why that single-member district, also the idea of single-member district, was help get the cost down for somebody that's going to run for office. And so, to me, I don't think the 4 years is really needed. I mean, I'm not dead set against the 4 years, but I think 2 years is good. I would be dead set against staggering terms. I don't agree with that concept. The other thing is, if you're going to do 4 years, which, like I said, I support 2 years. If you're going to do 4 years, and the chairman's position, I say you would change that part of it where the chairman's elected for a 2-year period.
Can't.
Sure you can.
You can't do 4 years.
Can't.
You can't have one chair for 4 years.
You can.
But you can legally maybe, but I think it's bad precedent.
Well,
yeah,
I think if I could just...
2 years
can we,
would be good, and then in other words, they have to...
Can we go section by section?
Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute.
So actually, the chairman would run for 2-year periods on the body.
Orange County does... Because can I just tell you why? Orange County had same amount of Democrats and Republicans one year.
Yep.
And the first 2 years was a Democratic chair, the last 2 years, or Republican chair, the last two were a Democrat. They came to a sharing agreement where they, because they couldn't come to an agreement, because they were one person short, somebody died, I think. So they had an agreement, handshake agreement, they did the Republican the first half of the term, and they did a Democrat. And it was a lady, she's the first Democratic chair down there in 100
years. So what I'm pretty sure that violated New York State law.
Okay, but they did it. All right, let's go to the next one. We'll get to that in a minute. Right now, we elect the chairman for one year at a time. Can Leslie Green ask Kathy a quick question?
Yeah, I just...
This is unstaggering?
I just wanted to ask the Association of Counties if there is, if you could check with them, because they would have heard every issue in the state. And, you know, if it worked somewhere that we didn't figure out. You know the book we just got? Yeah.
They've got somebody. And I'm not saying for you to do it, but we could pick up the phone and ask them, too.
Not only that, but Vicki can send out an email to all of the clerks of the legislature in the state and ask them any questions. And
well, you can actually look in that book, because that book tells you the term of each legislature in the state.
Oh.
I just think that this debate has probably come up before, and they may be aware of it.
What exactly do you want me to ask?
If the issue of redistricting, Legislator Ronk is suggesting that the unified four-year terms rather than staggered four-year terms, if that's a way to describe it.
Or unified terms of any length.
Yeah. Does the staggering make it harder for redistricting, and has anyone done it successfully? That's really the question.
Okay.
With districts, it don't change. That's the big
thing. Okay, let's go to the next one quick. Okay.
All right, next one is term limits. It's 16 years for four-year terms. I'm open to reducing it to 12, if that's the pleasure of everybody, but I've started.
I'm against this. I really feel that what it does is it weakens the legislative body. Because what happens is the legislators, as you know, they take a long time to really get, and that's one of the reasons why you get the four-year thing in there.
Yep.
And, over time, they know the, I'll tell you what, in some ways I'm still learning your government, county government, certain things, and certain things that you still find out about it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm against it. It throws out institutional knowledge that can be there. And I certainly understand there's some people that get elected and keep getting elected and do nothing. But, I mean, there's not a real lot of them. They usually eventually, I know Bob finally lost. The thing is I'm against term limits because I think it weakens the body. And what it does is it not only weakens the body, it ends up empowering the executive even more. The only ones that normally have term limits in this country are the executives. We have a president elected for two terms.
Governors in Virginia, governors one term.
A number of governors in different places have term limits. That's where we should be addressing term limits.
Okay. Let's go next. We're not. Yeah. Keep going.
All right. Sorry, I was looking for the New York State County law, so we can talk about the term of the chairman. Is that what's next?
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go to
the term
to
the
next
of the chairman. That's the term of the clerk. What's 4 years.
Well, I don't think the clerk is next.
Yeah.
I'm alright with that.
Hmm?
I'd be alright with that.
It's the term of the body.
It's the term of the body, exactly.
But I wouldn't agree with the term of the body being a chairman being elected for 4 years.
No, that's too long.
We elect him now only for one, and I think it should be the term.
Here's the problem. The problem is that, and I can't find it now.
You can only elect him 1 year or four?
Yes.
Why? I don't understand.
New York State County law allows. New York State County law says the chairman of the Board of Supervisors shall be elected every calendar year at the organizational meeting. And I'm very much paraphrasing because I can't read it word for word.
We're not Board of Supervisors.
The county law is written to Board of Supervisors.
And it translates to legislature. Okay. If there's a legislature. Or the you know by local law, the Board of Supervisors can make the term of chairman coincide with the term of the legislature, including a 3-year term. So that was one thing that must have come up, and that was a I want to say it was a court case that determined that too, but I could be wrong about that. Eric and I've done a lot of research together on these things. So.
And what section are you talking about?
Section 3.
3 or 4?
3. Is chairman.
And, you know, not that I don't believe you, but I think, you know, can we get clarification by the
next
meeting?
Yeah, I'll, you know.
You don't have to do it now. I mean, we're not
going to text Erica and see if she's got it handy. If she doesn't, it's no big deal. Okay. We're going to be in the meeting for
Kathy's
a while.
Kathy's right here.
A lot of time Erica carries that around with her. Where she goes.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
I mean, I don't know. Have you been looking for a cafe?
I have not.
Okay. I mean, but I'll get it. I'm sure we're not going to pass these tonight. I'm sure we're going to have some more discussion about it. But I'll make sure that next time I come, I bring copies of the New York State County Law section for
the
committee to look at. There's nothing.
Nothing on the clerk.
There's nothing about the clerk. That's our rule. That was Dave's bright idea that we agreed to when we did the charter changes. So the charter says that the clerk is elected every year. We
right.
can change the charter and say that she's elected every alternating Tuesday if we wanted to. But
right,
I mean,
right. No, but
I don't support that.
Okay, legislative green.
I want to just take a quick step back. It's not a big deal, but. Let's see, not staggering. The term limit. I would more easily favor term limits what we do with the Clearwater Board of Directors is people have 3 terms. They have to step off for a year, and then they can run again. So it would be stepping off for 4 years before you could run again. But, it weakens the power of incumbency, gives somebody another chance, but it also, if somebody has served well, it gives them an opportunity to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not a big deal for me. I definitely think that the chair should be elected every year. So it would be hard for me to vote for this, even though I agree with a lot of it.
Can I just tell you my opinion on it?
And yeah.
Honestly, I think there's no way in a million years the general public's going to vote for this in a ballot referendum. They don't want us. They want there to be vote. They expect to be in the booth every 2 years voting for their legislators. That's my opinion, and I think this would go down blazing hard, and I think there's a lot of other problems in Ulster County that need addressed than... And not to say you or Amanda, but I think it would be perceived as a self-preservation.
I don't agree only because I've talked to my constituents who would support a longer term for the legislature.
Yeah, Rich, I beg to differ too. I mean, it's been a trend in Ulster County that highway supes and town clerks and maybe some supervisors have been extending from 2 to 4, and
they're not policymakers.
The town supervisor is also a town board member.
How many towns has that passed in? Worsing by 3 votes, 6 votes.
I didn't count, but anyway.
That one passed.
I think it could be a good trade-off term limits for extending our terms.
That's.
Yeah, but 16 years is not. If you look at how many legislators last 16 years, it's probably less than 10% ever. So it's kind of like a little.
I'm
it's
halfway
red herring to a degree.
You'd go to 12.
Kevin and I are both at 8 years this year. I'd go to 12.
May be a little more.
Honestly, 12 is what was reasonable for me, and in my expertise in negotiation, you always aim high to get where you want. So,
yeah, 16 I think is
34 years.
So,
what is the purpose of the term limits? I mean, what is the
just get the 4-year term?
Get a 4-year term.
That's
because
of course not my reason.
In other words, term limits, I could agree with term limits if if it was because you can't get rid of people, but you can get rid of people. The problem with what we have in this state and many states and the federal government for that matter is that they have franking privileges. We do not have that on local levels.
They wish to pass franking privileges first.
We have, in other words, they can send out mail after mail to their constituents. We can't do that. Mm. The only way we could send out mail is if we pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Like all the things that Kevin Cahill sent out, right?
But he's allowed to do that. He has franking privileges, just like anybody else does. Any state.
County executive has franking privileges. His name's on everything.
Well, he has in a sense, yes. But that's where really, that to me, if we're going
yeah,
to have term, if we're going to have term limits here, why would you not have term limits in a county?
We could really push that.
You know,
that's even worse because that takes reality.
All right,
he gets more powerful every day in a sense.
Can I just respond to that?
Let's interrupt.
I just think, Rich, that we got Kenny has a lot of good points here.
Okay,
and I think we should. Maybe debate them in a special meeting.
Would you
meeting?
Consider term limits for the county?
Absolutely. Include what David
yeah,
just
the
said.
The only way I would support term limits.
Let's make it comprehensive and add that.
If I could just explain my reasoning for term limits is, you know, in my experience in the legislature, and it's not universal, but it's overwhelming, that those who have been here for longer than 12 years are often the ones who aren't proposing a lot of new initiatives. They're not proposing a lot of things that will move the county forward, and they're just going through the motions. They're passing the resolutions. They're not excited to be here. I remember one longtime legislator, my first meeting of a committee was the Law Enforcement Committee. I was really excited to be there. It was the one committee I wanted to serve on, and I got in the elevator, and this legislator was no longer here, you know, got in behind me and was looking all disheveled and angry, and you know, he looked at me. I was wearing, you know,
I wasn't that disheveled.
I was wearing a suit, and I was really excited. And the legislator looked at me, and he scoffed, and he says, "I used to be like you. I used to get dressed up and want to come to these meetings. Now I can't stand to come to the damn things." And honestly, before I got here, I never believed in term limits. But after I've seen what I've seen, I feel like you're going to lose more legislators who aren't doing the job of a legislator anymore, then you are going to lose people who are. I think that it's a trade-off and it's a calculation, and I think that it's a positive calculation for the taxpayers.
It's too easy to get you can beat an incumbent on a legislative body. It's too easy to beat.
Especially now with the district so small.
If I could just talk about the chairman real quick again.
Yeah, term limits.
Okay. Let's get moving along then.
The removal and my reasoning, you know, I would never support a four year term for the chairman if we didn't have a mechanism built in for the removal of the chair by a motion from the floor and a favorable vote of 2/3 of the legislature. So if the chairman's doing a really bad job that 2/3 of the legislature want to see him gone, they can do it on a whim.
Well, I think it should be 3/4.
No way.
I think 2/3. 2/3 is hard enough to get. We couldn't get 2/3 to put propane cells on vehicles. I mean, because propane is fracking, even though everybody has propane at their house for heating and for food and for all this other stuff.
Do as I say, not as I do.
But anyway, we can't get 2/3 to override that veto. I don't think we're getting 2/3 to get rid of the chairman, unless they're doing a very poor job.
If I may, I'd just like to object that I do as I do as I say.
You grill?
I cook.
Charcoal.
But my propane usage has gone down, and I, you know, I have to report it every year. I still use it.
Okay, well, it's all good.
But I...
That wasn't directed at you, ma'am.
No, it was just... So I, well, no, but someone who sends us all emails said, you know, that... Get these. If you're not a climate denier and you believe in climate change, then you need to walk the walk. And I think I'm doing everything humanly possible.
Listen, you are, and I believe you, but a lot of people that voted no aren't. You know?
So anyway, we'll move on to Section 5. Section 5 is... I think Section 5 is to codify
our change to the administrative code in respect to... I'm sorry. Section 5 is in the powers and duties of the executive when it comes to the execution of contracts, except as provided for in C-11.1. C-11.1 is the audit committee, because later on we are making the audit committee's decision final. And the way we're doing that is that when the audit committee makes their decision, the chairman is authorized to execute the contract.
Yeah.
And the legislature doesn't have to pass the contract. The audit committee shall choose the auditor, is how it's written in the charter, and we're making it so. The county executive has informed me that he's not in favor of that.
Too bad. To me, it's mind-boggling that an executive could veto somebody that's going to go over his or her books.
Outrageous. But
this doesn't change the veto.
Yes, it does. You can't veto
this. Would allow the executive to veto it.
The charter says the audit committee shall choose an auditor to count the audit books.
Now, the reason the county executive could veto the choice of the audit committee was because we were passing, as the legislature, we passed the contract because it was over $50,000 to execute the agreement with the auditor, and Mike vetoed the contract to execute the contract with the auditor.
If we did $45,000, it wouldn't have gone to him.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then they added $10,000 for broken apart. No, but we didn't do that
because he executes all contracts under $50,000.
No, because it's still a legislation passed by the legislature, which you can veto.
We wouldn't have passed it if it was below $50,000.
I think right now there's even debate whether it has to go to the full legislature. I don't believe it does.
But we're eliminating all debate by saying that it doesn't go through the legislature.
It's the audit committee.
The section 6 changes it in the code. The same thing. Section 7 is...
And the term limit language, does it have anything with consecutive or non-consecutive? If somebody's out one...
No.
Term, can they run again, or 16 years, 8, 12 years, you can never be a legislator again?
12 years, you can't be a legislator again.
Okay.
I thought you were doing 16, now you're doing 12.
Well, it started at 16, but then, you know, it seems as if, right now it's 16, but I would be willing to amend it down to 12, and it seems like there's consensus on the committee that that's where to go. Yes. No, consecutive or broken up. 12 years. If you lose, if you serve 8 years and then lose, you could run for 4 more.
If you serve 12 and retire and then you're out, then you can't come back in 4 years or 8 years.
Oh, see, no, I want the good ones back.
Most of the good
None
ones.
None of us. We're all replaceable.
Why would you come back if you're once you're out of that?
Well, if you're retired out and you want to serve.
Section 7, I'm relatively certain, is in the same...
You'd be doing something else and probably wouldn't want to do it.
Go ahead.
It's all right, let's keep moving.
Section 7, I think, is to handle our changes that we already made to the contract. Section 8 is a new Section B. This addresses the audit committee. And it says that the selection of the audit committee shall be final and not subject to the approval of the county legislature or county executive. Upon the selection of the independent auditor by the audit committee, the chairman of the legislature shall have the authority to execute the contract with the selected independent auditor. Terms of the contract shall contain those provisions included in the county's standard contract. The chairman may consult with the county attorney prior to executing the contract. May, not shall, you know, consult with the county attorney. And then, you know...
Well, you have the word, the chairman shall have the power to, is that right?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you just say the chairman shall?
Because I don't know that every chairman's going to want to consult with the county attorney.
No, before.
We have our own attorneys.
The chairman shall execute. You said the chairman have the power to execute.
Have the authority.
Have the authority to. So that means he doesn't have to.
I'd be fine with removing have the authority to. I'll talk to Eric about it. Yeah, I'll talk to Eric about that, definitely.
Put shall on that, too.
No, shall.
Shall.
It says shall have the authority to. Right now, I think that shall execute may. that may be a positive thing, just to eliminate one more hurdle that might come up. It's a good point, Kathy. Thank you.
What was the name of the...
O'Connor Davies, Dobbins, okay. Mullins, okay. Something.
Yeah.
They will be here tomorrow, so everybody knows. They are here tomorrow to audit our controller.
Who made it? Why? Oh, we did?
Yeah. It's under $50,000.
I thought we were ordering.
The controller was very surprised, despite the fact that Ariel was here at the meeting. The controller expressed
shock and dismay.
Shock and dismay.
It is what it is. So that's
now,
so that's.
Why are they going to
the auditor? I don't know.
That was something that came up in the audit committee last year. That the auditor has never been audited.
They don't
know you.
I don't think it was the audit committee. I think it was Ways and Means.
Yes,
the comptroller has never been.
Yes, the joke is that the comptroller is the auditor who's never been audited. So those are my changes, folks. I mean, think about them. I'd like to discuss them at a special meeting. That way we can, maybe come to some consensus on something to pass by the next meeting.
Well, do you want to discuss it at next Tuesday's meeting?
Special,
sure.
Are you all going to be able to make it to Tuesday? I know we had a quorum, but I didn't hear from Dave and
Kevin. Now, are you telling me this is going to be on one question?
Yes. I think it's got to be one question. I don't think it can be broken up into different questions.
I don't know how you...
Especially the first two. I don't think that the voters are going to give us a four-year term without term limits. And I don't think that I would support term limits without a four-year term.
Those can be grouped. My initial discussions with Vicky were instinctively, the other stuff maybe could be a separate...
I don't know if it has to, though, because we passed an entire package of charter changes the last time, everything ranging from powers and duties of the executive, powers and duties of the legislature, contracts, everything, including creation of the audit committee. The entire package was on one question.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the precedent that I would use to say it can all be one question.
Yeah, but this is actually changing powers.
The last one did, too.
Differently, though, in here.
I think
you got two different issues here. One is a four-year term, and the other one is term limits.
We'll hash it out.
They may be interrelated, but then these others are different.
But it's to me, it's not really related.
Well, somebody's got to explain to me how we did, why we did it that way the last time. We're going to do it differently this time.
Just because you did it one way in the past doesn't mean it was...
I think it was the right way, though.
Okay.
That's my attitude.
No, I think the one in the past was right because it was one issue. It was what it was dealing with. It was mostly cleaning up. Mm-hmm. It was like a little cleaning up.
Oh, no.
Things that we
big
did,
changes.
Like with the clerk.
Big
we changed.
Changes.
We changed stuff.
Appointments of the executive,
right.
and
that's what we need to do.
Created an audit committee, and
but they were all. But they're all.
Jesus.
Well, we can discuss it. I mean,
yep. So we'll discuss
it
next week.
It should be one question.
It'll be a 6 to 8 o'clock meeting, and we'll spend
when
Tuesday.
Ballot
questions are confusing enough for the general public than to make 18 of them. I mean, it's going to, I think it would be worse.
It's after our meeting.
No, our meeting's tomorrow.
Yeah,
next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. So it would be April 28th.
Can we have a meeting that soon? Do you have to do some...
Well, we're going to go over the administrative code stuff.
It's on the calendar.
Oh, you can make a call meeting within 24 hours.
Are you Bob? Okay. Am I hearing Bob?
Okay, do I have a motion? Or any new business?
Wait a second. Tomorrow, before caucus?
No, it would be next week.
A week?
Next Tuesday, the 28th.
Okay, the
28th. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. 6 o'clock.
Yep, I'm still open that day.
Everybody?
Yeah, I'm good with 6.
They also, they are meetings. Do they have to be at 6, or can we bump them out like we did last year for the summer?
Earlier?
Later, we did them, didn't we?
One meeting. When's your golf start?
Later
for you, when do you play golf? Mondays? Yeah, we can discuss that.
Okay.
We can do that.
I'm fine with that.
This isn't like the environmental
that
type. You have it at 7, you have a meeting until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
That actually gives you time to get a little bite to eat or something before you come.
So I thought like 6 o'clock? On Tuesday.
The 28th.
The next meeting will start at
6:30.
Yeah.
So the 28th was 6 o'clock, and then starting
after that.
In the May meeting, we're going to be at 6:30.
If it's pouring rain out and golf's canceled, we'll come in at 6.
Are we going to... do you want to invite...
Every other legislator.
No, those guys to come next week to talk about the other thing, too? The purchasing thing, the contract thing?
Yeah, I just hope they'll be a little nicer. I don't know. We have
Dave said he didn't think they were that mean. I thought they were pretty
outrageous. I didn't think they were
outrageous.
That bad.
Yeah. I thought Mark was fine. I think
Susie
was a little bit like angry.
Respect. One thing I'd like to bring up is what was she acting as? Was she acting as public works commissioner? Or was she acting as the former contract manager?
Or the attorney?
That was a concern to me. I don't know.
Every department now, Ed.
No, it's on.
Okay.
I'm fine with being with it on, but if you want to wait
until
after we get
it. All in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned at 6:27.